listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. This is the place to find the latest thoughts from Gabriel and Mike Bright, the lead pastors of Gateway Family. Here we go.
I'm talking to you about fear, and one of the things about fear that I personally believe is I personally believe everybody has fear. I really think everybody's got some kind of fear. I know for me, I know looking at me, the big strapping guy that I am, you wouldn't think that I've got a lot of fears, but I do. I do have a lot of fears, and as a matter of fact, one of my fears growing up was had to do with swimming pools. I don't know if anybody was afraid of swimming pools. Who was afraid of swimming pools growing up? Okay, nobody. I'm the only wuss in the room. Gabriel? Yes. Okay, my buddy. But here was my fear about swimming pools. My fear of swimming pools had nothing to do with the water. I wasn't afraid of the water. I wasn't afraid of the shallow end. My fear of swimming pools, and I wasn't even afraid of drowning. My fear of swimming pools was that drain at the bottom of the swimming pool. And see, I had this crazy wild imagination as a kid, and one of the things I could just envision is whenever I looked at that drain, I just knew that snakes could come up out of that drain and get me when I went swimming. All the little kids right now are going, "There's snakes in the drain?" No, not really. But sometimes I would envision a shark coming out of that drain and getting me. The drain's this big. I mean, if the shark came out of that drain, I don't think it would get me very much. But I used to be afraid of that. I've always had this kind of fear of people. I get a little bit scary sometimes getting up in front of people. I know you wouldn't think that because I have to do it every single week. But every single week, I stand behind that curtain and I have to conquer my fear of walking out in front of everybody and talking to you because I fear that I'm going to mess up. I fear that I'm going to do something wrong. And most of the time, I end up doing something wrong anyway, so it's okay. I'm kind of used to that part. But that has always been a fear of mine. There were times whenever I first started preaching, but man, I would be in a back room somewhere ready to throw up. I mean, my stomach was the whole time doing this. I just couldn't handle getting out in front of people, and it's always been a fear of mine. Another one of my fears has always been failure. I do not like to fail. Anybody ever have a fear of failure? Okay. Well, one of the things about a fear of failure, one of the ways to conquer some of these fears is just to hit them head on, right? I used to have this fear of heights, and I still sometimes do have a fear of heights on occasion. But one of the things about my fear of heights is the way I conquer it is I just get in really high places and just see what happens. That's not a good way of looking at life, but that's my way of looking at it. So there's been times in my life when I was a little kid, I'd be afraid of heights. And so I remember this one house we lived in, there was a wall that went around the back of the house. And I used to get out and find a way to get up on that wall, and I would crawl along that wall and balance myself and then get behind my house, and I was doing this on the wall. It was probably only about a 10-foot drop, but still, for a little kid, that may as well be 1,000 feet, right? And so I would try and conquer my fears. I would try and climb trees to conquer my fear of heights. And so my goal in climbing the tree was get as high as you possibly can. That is really dumb whenever you're only this tall, or however tall I was, because I would jump to grab a limb and then use my feet to climb up, but then coming back down is the hard part because you hang and your feet don't touch, right? And you got to just drop and hope that you hold on. I was helping my brother-in-law work on his house, and he said, "We got to get the chandelier down out of the foyer." And it's not that tall, only about, I don't know, 20 feet up in the air. And we have a 22-foot extension ladder all the way extended, almost straight up and down, just holding itself on with a piece of molding. And so I start climbing that ladder. And I thought, it's not too bad. It's not too bad until the chandelier catches my shorts and starts pulling me back down. It was bad at that point. A little bit of freaking out going on. And then I made it past the chandelier, and I get up to the top, and what does the molding start doing? And I feel like I can see cracks in it. You know, whenever you're scared, you see stuff. I feel like this thing's popping off. Any minute now, I'm going to just be hanging up here. My brother-in-law, Jesse, his great words of wisdom were, if it falls, just hang on to the ladder. Maybe you won't fall too far. So fear is one of those things. Fear is one of those things we all have to conquer in life. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, it says this, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. The key part of that is that first part I want to focus on where it says, perfect love drives out fear. Have you ever been driven out of a place before? You adults are thinking, yeah, I have, but I'm not raising my hand because my kids are in here. Have you ever been driven out of a place? Someone come and they push you out of a place. They don't want you in a place. Yesterday, we had the opportunity to go to a lake and borrow somebody's boat, and they had this, like, pull behind raft, right? So we're driving the raft, and with my family, it is not fun just to pull people on a raft. The goal is to see how quickly you can throw people off of the raft, right? Anybody else have a family like mine? A bunch of crazy folks? And so we would be taking the boat out, and my dad or my brother would cut the wheel as hard as he could and send that raft flying to one side or the other. And if nobody fell off, whenever they slowed the raft down, the kids would all try and push each other off. And so, of course, they're all knocking each other off. They were driven off of the raft. So if you're a little kid today and you're thinking about that, if you're scared sometimes whenever you go to bed, today we're going to be talking about how God's love can, just like the raft, can push fear completely out of your life, completely out of the room. If you're an adult today and you're struggling with fear, the same applies to you. Before we get into all the fears, I want to look at some famous people that have fears. And I want to just show you how irrational some fear is. Well, only look at the first one, Johnny Depp. We all know Johnny Depp from Pirates of the Caribbean and now from the new Lone Ranger movie. Johnny Depp is afraid of clowns. Anybody afraid of clowns in here today? Man, I knew Gabe would be afraid of clowns. Alabama fans, always afraid of clowns. Nicole Kidman is afraid of butterflies. Now, when I read this, I started looking at it. I thought, now, there is no way somebody's afraid of a little old butterfly. And then I remembered one time my wife calling me in the room. Well, I say one time, every time. My wife sees a moth in the house. She pretends like she's made out of wool. She thinks that moth is going to come eat her somehow. And she starts freaking out, screaming, crying. You got to come get this huge beast. You know, and I go in there. It's a little bit old moth that I can't even catch, you know. Nicole Kidman is afraid of butterflies. Scarlett Johansson of the Avengers movie. Remember her? She had guns. She was shooting folks. She was fighting aliens. She's scared of birds. If she sees a bird around her, she will freak out. Let's look at the last one. Oprah Winfrey is afraid of chewing gum. She's so afraid of chewing gum that whenever she owned her own, I guess she still owns her own building. She probably owns lots of buildings. I think she owns America. Whenever she was shooting the Oprah Winfrey show and they had this building in Chicago, she would not allow anybody to enter the building with gum in their mouth. She also, one time, was having a dinner party at her house, and one of her friends came in, sat down to eat, and whenever she did, she took the gum out of her mouth and stuck it on the plate to eat. I'm not sure what kind of high-class dinner party this was. Whenever the lady got done eating, I guess she took the gum, put it back in her mouth. Oprah, when the lady left, took the plate and threw it in the garbage. She didn't want to have anything to do with chewing gum. Is that the last one? I can't even remember how many I put in. That's the last one I thought. So I wanted to show you today that fear, a lot of times, is really just a part of your imagination. I don't think fear is always real. Now, it feels real when you're standing up on that scaffolding or up on that ladder looking down, right, and it starts shaking, or somebody comes by and kicks it, right? It feels real. It feels real whenever that spider gets on. Is that what we're supposed to be doing right now? I don't know. I guess we're just changing it up. We had some wiring problems today, and we had to move Kim closer, and I guess she's just trying to take it out on me now. Fear feels real whenever, like for me, look, I'm not really scared of spider. Like if I see a spider, it doesn't bother me, right? I know I can step on it and kill it. But if the lights are out and that spider gets on me, like when you're walking through the woods, like whenever I'm going hunting and it's like 4 o'clock in the morning and I'm walking through the woods in the dark and a big old spider web hits my face and I feel something of substance and it starts doing this, oh baby, I'll break my arms trying to get out of the woods. I mean, I do not like stuff on me at night like that. And so it feels real, but fear is often a choice, and fear is often rooted in the unknown. It's rooted in something that we can't see or don't understand, and therefore we fear that thing. There's plenty of stories in the news right now of people being upset, people doing bad things, usually because they're afraid of something. I want to show you a little clip right now, and it's going to show you how irrational sometimes fears can be whenever we don't understand what's happening. Isn't it crazy how those monsters with their big teeth and their big claws and their horns are afraid of a little bitty 2-year-old girl, a 3-year-old girl? It's nuts how that happens sometimes, but we do the same thing so often when we don't understand something, we don't know something. You know, for us adults, a lot of times when we look at our future, we look at the economy, when we watch the news, it can bring fear on us. We get afraid. I don't know about every adult in here tonight, today, but I'm going to tell you something. There's been times whenever facing death, people get really, really scared and afraid. Why? Because no matter how long they've been in church, sometimes they feel, we need to tell whoever's kid that was not to run through the curtains. Yeah, I know whose kid it was. Here she comes back, Mama. You need to, hey, she's already back in here. You're just walking around now for nothing. They're looking for a daughter that's lost. You know, the bathroom got her. So anyways, we start looking at the news. We start thinking about death. We start thinking about the future. And we get really, really scared. I said earlier, if a doctor comes in and tells you you got a bad report, it's really, really scary. I've shared this story multiple times. But whenever I was in the hospital for something, I didn't know what was wrong with me. And I remember them putting me in a hospital bed. And they were doing x-rays thinking I had kidney stones. And when they're doing the x-rays, they found a mass that was on my heart, but they just found a piece of it, and immediately they came in and gave me morphine. And it's like, I didn't know what was happening, but I was doped up, and I was in and out of consciousness, and all I can remember is all of a sudden kind of opening up my eyes, and two doctors were in my hospital room, and they said the word cancer. Now, whenever you're out of it, in and out of sleep, and all of a sudden you hear the word cancer, and they tell you, hey, Mr. Wright, we're going to have to keep you a little bit longer, but they're not telling you the whole story. That's scary. That's scary. And what it is it's fear of the unknown. As long as I know what's coming, I can prepare for it. But people in the Bible had the same problem. They were always asking Jesus, Jesus, tell us about the end of the world. Tell us about what's going to happen. Please tell us what's going on. Why? Because they were afraid of what they would be facing. Same thing for kids. You turn off the lights in a kid's room, all of a sudden, every lampstand becomes a monster. Every belt on the floor becomes a snake. Why? Because they can't see it, and what they can't see, they don't know. And it becomes very, very scary for them. So fear of the unknown can take us places we really don't want to be. But God has some words for us today. And so if you got your Bibles out, if you don't, we're going to have it on the screen. Psalm 23 and also Isaiah 41. I want to look at a couple of verses in these two chapters today. And I want to talk about the first thing that God has for us. Four things that God is, all right, and God does for us. The first thing God does for us is God is with us. Now, earlier, Kelly shared a word from God, and she said those exact same words, something you guys need to understand. If you're a kid in the room today, and you get scared at night, or you get scared in situations, you need to remember that God is with you. Yep. Jesus said in his word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Adults, whenever we're facing the future, when we're facing scary things, we need to remember God is with us. Psalm 23 says, and I want you to look down at verse 4. It says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, or some verses say through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's important for us to notice today that God is always with us. Now, we don't always feel that way. There are times when we feel like he's far away from us. There's times when we pray and we don't feel his presence. But I promise you today, he's always there. Isaiah 41, verse 10 says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. It's important for us today to remember that God is always with us. Through every trial, through every tribulation, God is with us. There's another verse in Isaiah that I love to use, and I love it for my own personal life, because the verse goes like this. It says, whenever you pass through the waters, whenever you go through the fire, when you walk through the rivers, you will not be burned. You will not be drowned. The waters will not overtake you. It says, because I am with you, says the Lord. The neat thing about that scripture that I love is whenever it's saying that, it says, when you pass through. In other words, A, I know where you are, and B, there is another side to it. You may feel like you're in the middle of the water right now, but you will come out on the other side. I think about the story of Jonah. Last night in our Bible reading at home before bed, we read the story of Jonah. And whenever you read the story of Jonah, I used to always look at the story of Jonah as, you know, the storm comes up, they take Jonah, throw him over the boat, and then the fish comes and gets him. And I think, man, it can't get any worse for this guy. Like, he's drowning and probably wishing he would drown, and then a fish gets him. That's awful. How scary is that? And then I realized there was no other way for God to protect him in the middle of the ocean except to bring a giant fish up. That sometimes whenever we feel like things are getting worse, sometimes it's really God protecting us and watching out for us because he's always with us. Yep. David said it best. He said, if I'm in heaven, you're with me. If I'm in hell, you're with me. No matter where I go, you're always with me. So everybody say this with me. Say, God is with me. That's the first thing you need to understand. So whenever you're laying in your bed at night and you're scared, you're worried, when you think there's monsters in your closet, or you think your boss is going to fire you the next day, or you're laying in your bed and you're worried about that confrontation at work, or that family member that's jacked up and you're worried you don't even want to go to sleep, you need to remember God's with me. God's with me. It doesn't mean my situation is going to be good. It just means that God is with me and he will bring me out on the other side. He will bring me through. That when I'm laying in bed at night, God is with me. The second thing God does is God encourages us. God encourages us. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 31, and then we'll also jump over a chapter to Joshua chapter 1. But Deuteronomy 31, and look at verse 6. The Bible says this, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. God encourages us. Whenever we're going into a battle, whenever we're going into a situation that we don't understand or don't know, and that's exactly what the children of Israel were dealing with. They're looking across the river, and they've got this land, and all these spies have come back, and they've said, oh, the land is scary. There's giants in the land. There's sickness in the land. And so the Israelites are worried about what's coming up next. And God says, hey, be strong and courageous. Whenever you're dealing with issues today, you need to remember that God is speaking to you, and you need to listen to what God has to say. God is speaking over you to be strong, be courageous. Don't allow fear to set up shop in your life, because he is always with us. If you flip over to Joshua chapter 1, a couple of chapters over, it's the next book, Joshua chapter 1. I love this. Verse 6 says, again, this is God speaking to Joshua this time. He says, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the laws my servant Moses gave you, and do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night. Then you'll be successful. Verse 9, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. A lot of times whenever you feel like you're all alone and there's nobody there to help you, God is there. The Holy Spirit is there speaking to you. Be strong and courageous. There was times in my life, I remember one time, I'm glad my friend Ashley is here with us today, Ashley Connor. Her and her husbands are children's pastors over in Rainbow City. And they've got the day off on vacation today, so she chose to do vacation with us. And so I'm thankful for that. And so... I remember one time Ashley's dad and I used to be on staff together at a church. My dad was the senior pastor. Ashley's dad was the associate pastor and worship pastor, and I was the children's pastor at the time. And I remember my dad left to go on the mission field. Well, in church world, whenever the pastor leaves, it's not like in some jobs, if your boss leaves takes another position, they just bring in another boss or elevate someone else, and your job pretty much stays the same. But in church world, it's almost like coaching. If the head coach changes, a lot of times the new coach wants to bring in his own staff. Well, we kind of had that happen. Her dad and myself kind of had that happen to us. My dad left. New pastor comes in. The new pastor really wants his own staff, and we understood that. So we all start looking for new jobs. And I remember we lived in a single-wide trailer at the time, and it didn't have but two little rooms on either side of it. And I remember at night being so worried because we didn't know what was going to happen. We didn't know where we were going to go, what we were going to do. And I remember there would be nights I would get up out of bed and I'd walk to the other end of the house so I wouldn't disturb Perry. And I would lay down my face on the floor and I would just cry and I would pray and I would just say, oh God, what's going to happen? God, you got to do something. God, you got to provide. And I remember it was like God was just speaking to my heart, be strong and courageous. Yeah, you're going to make it. You're going to be okay. I remember when Perry and I ended up from there, we went to Mobile, and from Mobile we came to Birmingham. And I remember when we came to Birmingham, we didn't have a house here yet, because we hadn't sold our house there yet. So we were living with my parents at the time. And I remember laying in the bed with Perry one night, and we're sitting there praying and talking, and she was upset and worried, and I was upset and worried. Our house hadn't sold, and the economy was tanking, and we just said, oh God, what are we going to do? And we began to pray, and I told God, I said, God, I don't need much. I don't need you to sell my house for me. I just need a little bit of encouragement. If you could just show me that you're still here. And you know what? The next day, we got a call from our real estate agent. Not that the house sold, but that someone was looking at it. See, our situation had gone dry. People were looking at it right off the bat, and then it just went dry. And the real estate agent called and said, look, someone's looking at your house tomorrow. We had to lower the price just to get people to come in. And you know, I told Perry, I said, I know this isn't the house selling, but it makes me feel like God is encouraging us, and God wants to encourage you today. Whenever you're fearful, when you're afraid, when you're worried about what's coming up in your future, remember, God is speaking to you always. We just have to listen to Him, and He's saying to you, be strong and very courageous. You know, it's probably a week later, we got another call from the real estate agent that said, hey, we got another person interested in your house. And now we've gotten into a bidding war over your house. Did you know we lowered our price by, I don't know, let's say $5,000 or $10,000. I don't remember what it was. It was a lot. We lowered the price. These two couples get into a bidding war for our little 1,600-foot house. It was not really all that great. It had been moved a couple of times and walls were crooked. And, you know, with this little house, they get into a bidding war. Our house ended up selling for like $10,000 more than our original asking price.
Wow.
Because God provided.
Come on, that's great.
We were worried. We were scared. But God encouraged us and kept us going. So number one, God is with us. Number two, God encourages us. Number three, I love this verse. It's one of my favorite verses. I've told my kids to read this verse. It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and this is the thing that God does for us. God puts His Spirit in us. He puts His Spirit in us. Now, we know Acts 1:8 says that my Spirit will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses, and you will have power. We get that, but sometimes we forget, and we think that Spirit just gives me power to witness. That Spirit gives me power to conquer fear. Let me tell you something. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 1 here. And we're going to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Sorry, I looked in the wrong one. Chapter 1, verse 7. It says this, for the Spirit of God does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. Another version of the Bible says, for the Spirit gives us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. You know, one of the problems is whenever we are fearful, we become irrational, right? If you're scared, you will do stuff that makes no sense whatsoever. All you got to do is look at a distance somebody that walks up on a bee or on a spider's web. Right? Now, if you're with them, you get it. Hey, there's a bee. But if you're looking at a distance and all of a sudden a bee gets on somebody and you can't see the bee, and what does that person start doing? They're doing this. You know, they're doing karate. And you're like, why is that dude doing karate all by himself in the park, right? And the spider web gets on somebody, and you'll think they've been doing drugs. They're just wiping their face and all that kind of stuff. Why? They become irrational when they get scared.
Right.
I told you this story before of the time I was in my house, And I looked up and I saw somebody peeking around my door in my bedroom. I won't go into the whole story because many of you have heard it already. But as a bachelor at the time, I wasn't washing my sheets on a regular basis. So sometimes I would take the sheets off to wash them and then they would just sit in the laundry room. So I was in a sleeping bag in the middle of a king-size bed. And I'm laying there and I see somebody peeking around the door in my bedroom. And I started freaking out. I became irrational. I knew for sure someone was in my house. I tried to jump up to get my gun. And when I did, I was in my sleeping bag still. So, of course, I crashed hard on the floor. Boom! And I finally got out of the sleeping bag, got my gun, went around the corner, flipped on the light, and there was no one there except for a pair of blue jeans that were blowing in the air conditioner. My fear caused me to be irrational instead of focusing on what the Spirit was doing in my life. The Spirit comes on you. God's Spirit is in you to give you a sound mind, for you to think right. Sometimes whenever your boss tells you, hey, tomorrow morning I need to sit down and talk with you. That whole day and whole night and the next morning, you're going through every possible scenario in your brain. You look like a crazy person driving in your car because you're having conversations with yourself the whole time. You're talking for the boss, and then you start talking for yourself. Well, if he says this, I'm going to say that. And if he does this, I'm going to do that. You get in the office, and he's just telling you what a great job you did, right? And so you think, man, I'm so dumb. What happened? Your fear got in you. Fear got a hold of you and caused you to think crazy thoughts. But the Bible says that God did not give us a spirit of fear. So kids, if you're laying in your bed at night and you're worried, you're scared, you need to think, God didn't give me a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and of love and a sound mind. Amen. That I don't have to think crazy thoughts. There's not really a monster in my closet, right? It's not there. Because God gave me a spirit, His Spirit in me. So number one, God is with us. Number two, God encourages us. Number three, God puts His Spirit in us. And number four, God gives us future hope. Look at Psalm 27, and then we're going to get into a couple of real practical thoughts, and then we'll be done today. Psalm 27 is a great verse. A couple other verses I'll just tell you. Jeremiah 29:11, we use that a lot, that the Bible says that God has a plan for you, a future for you, a hope for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. And so the thing you need to understand, especially adults, when you start worrying about your future, or teenagers, when you start worrying about college or worrying about a job, and not that you don't need to be thinking about those things, but you don't need to let fear get in you about those things. You need to remember that God has a hope and a future for us. He has given you a future. He has a plan for your life. He's not just letting you walk through this thing willy-nilly, just blind as a bat. He's got something for you, a path laid out for you, and it's up to us to walk in it. And look, let me tell y'all something. It's not that easy to get off that path. We think sometimes that we're trying to walk the path of God, and the first little thing that goes wrong, we think, oh, I stepped away from the Lord. I've stepped off the path. It's not that easy. God's not giving us a tightrope. He's given us a highway, and He wants you to walk down it, and God loves you and is going to protect you. You need to understand that today. Joshua 1:9 says that if you'll stay in my word, then I will make you prosperous and successful. He's got a plan for us. But I love chapter 27 of Psalms. It says this in verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? It goes on to talking about different things that could happen to the writer. But then it says, but I'll just seek the Lord. I'll follow His path and He'll have everything taken care of for me. I don't care what my boss says. I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what all these other people say. God has a plan for my life. And my future may look bleak. Fox News may be telling me how the country is going to hell in a handbasket. But my future isn't tied to Fox News. My future isn't tied to the government. My future is tied to God. And if I have to be homeless on the street, God has a plan for my life, and He'll feed me and take care of me on the street. I'm not saying God's going to give us all mansions because we read our Bible. I wish that was the case. That would be awesome, right? That's not what's going to happen. God's going to take care of you no matter your situation. You just need to know He's got a plan. It may not be your plan all the time. It may not look like what you want it to look like. There's been plenty of times I thought certain things were going to happen certain ways. God had a totally different idea of what I thought was going to happen. But he took care of me every single time. Every single time. So you need to remember today, number one, God is with you. Number two, God encourages you. Number three, he puts a spirit in you. And number four, he's got a future and a hope for you. Let me give you four more things that you can do today to defeat fear. And parents, especially, you need to listen to this. Number one, you need to guard the mind. You need to guard your mind, but you also need to guard the mind of your kids. We started noticing that one of our kids every night was having nightmares. Every night was coming in our room saying, I'm having nightmares. I need you to pray with me. And I love the fact that my kids, they understand that prayer helps. And so they come in, hey, I need you to pray with me. I'm having nightmares. And so we started looking at what that kid was watching on TV. And it wasn't bad stuff, but it was stuff that had aliens in it or, you know, a monster in it or whatever the case was. And while I didn't personally feel like it was a bad show for my child, for whatever reason, what was in that show was getting in his imagination and he began to see that stuff. So we just said, okay, let's just turn that off. Just don't watch that cartoon anymore. And guess what happened? The nightmares slowed down, stopped having so many nightmares. What am I saying? I'm saying you got to guard your mind. You got to guard the mind of your kids. Your kids don't know how to guard their own minds. So you got to step up as mom and dad, as grandma and granddad, right? As aunt and uncle, and say, hey, I got to guard this kid's mind. We got to do the same thing as adults. Look, I can only take so much of the news. I'm not really a news guy anyway. I'm more of a sports guy. But as I've gotten older, I feel like I need to mature a little bit more. But beyond knowing everything about sports, I need to know at least a little bit of what's happening in the world. And so I started trying to watch some news every so often. But I can only take it in doses because I feel like everything they say is so negative that it just gets me down. And I'm thinking, I would rather read the Word, get a little bit of news, and then read the Word to understand how I can combat what's happening or how I can be prepared for what's happening. But I've got to guard my mind. I've got to protect what's going in. It's funny, Pastor Marcus in our Mobile campus, a lot of you guys know him. He has a whole different view of what he can handle on TV. And he likes scary movies. But there's another person that works with me that does not like the same scary movies that Pastor Marcus likes. I'm not going to name any names, but there's only one other guy in my office. And so I remember one time, Pastor Marcus wanted to watch this scary movie. And I was like, okay, you know, I might can take a little bit of it. We'll see what happens. And so Pastor Shane said, there's no way. Oh, I said your name.
God, thanks. Nobody knew who you were talking about.
He said, there's no way. And he told us a story about one time he tried to watch this particular scary movie. And he said he couldn't go to sleep afterwards because he just knew something was going to get him. You know? Someone's going to take the sheets off of him, pull him down the hallway, whatever the case was. He's like, I am not watching that movie. Why? He's smart enough to know my imagination thinks that's real. So it's going to play over in my brain. There are certain things he just knows I can't go there. For me, I'm going to tell you right now, I do not need to watch shark movies. I don't like watching Shark Week on TV. I love sharks. I think they're really neat animals. My son is just a shark fanatic. But if I watch a shark movie, I can be in the middle of a lake and I start going, ooh, I'll pick my legs up. You know what I mean? Like I don't like being in the water too much. Something, maybe a shark got in here somehow going to get my legs. Right? So I just got to guard my mind. I got to protect what's up here. We got to do the same thing for our kids. Number two, we need to reinforce the heart. Reinforce the heart. What does that mean? It means this. Put scriptures into your kids' lives. One of the things I love about my parents used to make us memorize scriptures. And that's something I've done with Gabriel. There's been times when Gabriel would say, Dad, I'm kind of afraid sometimes when I go to bed. And I say, all right, well, here's a good scripture for you. Memorize this scripture. And I would go back in his room the next night. He'd say, hey, Dad, tell me how that scripture goes one more time. And I'd quote that scripture to him, and he'd say, okay. So what would happen is whenever he would wake up in the middle of the night, and maybe he's a little bit scared, maybe something's going on, he hears a noise, he starts quoting that scripture, right? It reinforces his heart. Adults, we need to do the same thing. We need to reinforce our heart with the Word of God. If you will get into your Word and learn to take notes, write down something God tells you, because there's going to come a time when you're going to get scared. You're going to get worried about your future, about your health or certain things. You can go back and read what God spoke to you. Reinforce your heart. Another good thing to use is worship music. Now listen, this isn't some kind of talisman that you know, if I play worship music and then all of a sudden, magically, all the fear goes away. No, it's not that. God's not magic. Even though I have the face with the swirly thing behind it, God is not magic. But this is the truth. It just reinforces your heart. A great thing about worship music is a lot of times it puts the Word of God in your life in a way you can remember it. I remember one time, me and Dustin were friends growing up. Me and Dustin are sitting in his bedroom at his grandma's house. He lived with his grandma. We're sitting in his bedroom at his grandma's house, and we have stayed up late, like 10 o'clock probably, you know? No, it was late. We stayed up late, and we're playing Nintendo, old school NES. Man, we're probably playing some Tecmo Bowl or something. My brother-in-law can't beat me at Tecmo Bowl. Only thing he can't beat me at. So we're playing Tecmo Bowl, right? And I remember Dustin, he was that kid that would get mad, take the game out, and throw it up against the wall. I hated that kid because I knew how much those games cost. And if it was my game, I was going to throw him up against the wall. So we're playing video games late at night, and we're just like zoned in. Everybody in the house is asleep. And I remember all of a sudden we heard the floor creaking. Ooh, right? I heard the floor creaking. Also, me and Dustin are scared. I mean, we're shaking. We're like, oh, what was that? There's a ghost in the house. Oh, you know. So what do? I was like, man, start singing church songs. Let's just sing church songs. So, man, we're singing every church song we know. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. Touchdown that the Lord has made. You know, I mean, we're just singing church songs, whatever we know. Why? Because I just thought, man, I got to get the Word of God out here somewhere, drive them ghosts away. You know, I didn't know what it was. His old grandma came in, scared us to death. You never want to see a grandma in the middle of the night, man. It is scary. Some of y'all grandmas, I'm sorry. Just, hey, don't scare your kids, okay? Just warn them before you come in the room because it can be scary. The third thing that we got to do is we've got to speak life. The whole stuff I was saying earlier about what God does for us is an example of what we should do for our kids. We've got to speak life over your kids. One of the things I've had a problem with in the past is there's times I forget that Gabriel is my son and I think of him as my friend. Now we are buddies, right? We're best buddies. What's up? We're best buddies, but he always has to remember, and I always have to remember, he is not my friend. He is my child. I have responsibility over this kid. If I was with my friends and someone dared me or I dared someone, climb up that ladder and see what happens. And they didn't want to do it. I said, man, you're a sissy. Come on, right? Don't we do that with our boys? I don't think ladies do that, but we do that with the boys. We're like, man, just climb up on that wall. Jump off that thing. You know, just see what happens. Sissy. We say that. Let me tell you something, fellas. We don't need to say that to our kids. That's not speaking words of life. That doesn't help our children become braver by calling them a sissy. You know what that does? That puts inside of them that if I don't do this, something's wrong with me. So the other day, I'm learning my lesson. You know, over the 8 years, I've learned a couple of lessons in parenting. And so one of the things I started doing is instead of doing that, the other day I sent him out. We killed a snake. This big, long, like 4 foot long snake. We killed this snake, right? And we threw it over the fence, you know, and Gabriel got there. And I know Gabriel loves animals. And I said, hey, man, why don't you go grab the snake? It's dead, so it's not going to hurt you, but go grab the snake. So I throw him over the fence, right, and I tell him where it is. And he goes running out there, and he's looking at the snake. And I said, just pick him up by the tail. Now, you know, I mean, you're 8 years old, 7 years old. You're like, I don't want to grab the snake, you know. So he's reaching down there. He'll touch it and back up. Touch it and back up. And I, inside I want to say, man, don't be a wuss. Just grab that snake. But instead I said, hey, buddy, you're brave. You're tough. That snake is dead. I said, now repeat that with me. Say, I'm brave. He's going, I don't want to touch that snake. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know about all that. I said, say it. I'm brave. He said, I'm brave. I said, say, I'm tough. I'm tough. Say, that snake is dead. That snake is dead. And I just kept saying it to him, and he kept repeating me. And the whole time he's reaching down, he grabs that snake. He picks it up, right? And then he was like, Emma, come grab this snake. She said, I don't think so. She took off. You know, that ain't for me, Jack. We need to remember to speak life over our kids. They may not feel brave and tough, But we need to speak it into them. When they're scared to go to bed, we speak life over them. Tell them that they are more than a conqueror. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in your closet. Amen? We speak life. Make them repeat it to you. Get it down inside of them. Pray with your kids. Show your kids that God is bigger than fear. Some of y'all need to speak life over yourself. I was talking to Kim before the service today. I said, Kim, you know what? Sometimes I struggle. People get negative on me sometimes. It really bothers me, makes me mad, and I just struggle. She said, well, you need to get over it. You're about to preach. I said, I should have talked to somebody else. She said, you need to get over that. Don't let that bother you. You need to, and she just began to speak life over me. That's not her job. That's my job. But she did it for me. Speak life over yourself sometimes, adults. The doctor gives you a bad report. I'm not saying you go in and say, I don't have cancer when your lungs are full of it. That's just dumb. You do have cancer. But you speak life over yourself. Say, I've got cancer, but greater is he that is in me than he that is in my lungs. Greater is he that is in me. I will live and not die, says the Lord. You need to speak life over yourself no matter the circumstance. Speak life. The last thing is this. You need to model bravery. One of the things in our home is with me and Perry. Perry's one of those kind of ladies that if something bad is happening, she gets frantic, right? So, like the other day, we got a fire on the stove, and she's just doing this. Like, she doesn't even know what to do. She's just doing this. Like, just screaming and just doing it, and I'm going, whoa, calm down. It's okay. We'll put it out. We'll take care of it. Now, inside, I'm thinking, we're about to burn the house down. Oh, my gosh, what's going to happen? We're about to all die. But on the outside, I'm like, it's okay. What did I do? I modeled bravery for my wife, but also for my kids. Because the minute you freak out, guess what? They're really going to freak out. And so what I want to do is I want to model bravery. Yesterday, we're on this raft. Dad's pulling the raft. And we get all the littlest kids we have on the raft. And we say, go as slow as possible. So I've got Emma and Colt on this raft. And my brother's got his twin daughters that are 4 on the raft. And me and my brother are on the raft with them. And we're just poking along. The problem is Dad actually went too slow. And when he did, the nose of the raft started going under the water. Well, when it did, all the kids were sitting right up on the front and they all fell in the water. And then the raft went over their heads. So I'm diving in the water. I'm going under the raft. I'm looking for kids. I grabbed Emma. I came out from under the raft. There's Colt, I grabbed Colt and I'm holding on to him. And I wanted on the inside to just freak out. But on the outside, I just said, hey, you guys are okay. It's all right. Daddy's got you. I was as calm as I could be. Why? We must model bravery. If you're scared to do something, get somebody else to do it. But don't show your kids that you're going to freak out. Don't act like that. Don't instill fear, because the way you act will teach them how to act. You get bad news from the doctor and you start running around your house throwing stuff, that's teaching that kid how to react when the doctor gives them bad news. You want to throw something, go in your bedroom, close the door, lock the door, and then throw all the stuff you want to throw. You want to freak out, run around, scream, tear stuff apart, go in your bedroom, lock the door, do all that stuff if that's what you need to do. But in front of your kids, model bravery. Show your kids that with God, we can accomplish anything. No matter what the boss says, no matter what happens, I'm going to be brave in front of my kids. You're not faking it. You're just being calm. You're just discipling somebody else. I love how whenever Jesus goes to the garden to pray, he's worried, he's upset. He left the disciples to pray on their own, and he went over here, and he's like, I'm scared, I'm worried, I'm dripping blood, I'm so upset. But what did he do when he went to talk to the disciples? Composes himself, walks up to the disciples. All right, fellas, time to get up. They're about to come get me. They didn't see all the freaking out. They saw the calm Jesus. But hey, we're going to handle this. It's going to be okay. So we need to make sure that we're guarding their minds, reinforcing their hearts, speaking life, and modeling bravery. Let me just end today with that verse that we started out with, but I want to read it to you in the Amplified Version. Listen to this for a second. It says, there is no fear in love. Dread does not exist. But full-grown, complete, and perfect love turns fear out of doors and expels every trace of it. We need to understand today that God's love eradicates fear in our lives. Gabriel, how does that work? It works like this. Whenever you're worried about your future, you need to remember that God loves you so much that He's not going to put you on a path of failure. He's going to put you somewhere to lead you to prosperity. God's going to lead you right back to Him every time. So when you're scared, when you're worried about future, remember God's love and it'll drive out all that fear. When it comes to your family, I've got to show these kids the love, the perfect, mature, complete love of God. I've got to show it to them. That way they always know, A, God loves me when I'm scared, and B, Daddy loves me when I'm scared. He'll take care of me. You show them the love, love drives out the fear. Well, what does that have to do with my mission? There's plenty of people out there right now searching for love. There's that old song, looking for love in all the wrong places. There's a lot of people looking for love today. They don't know that they're looking for it in Jesus. They haven't found that yet. And they're very scared. They're very worried that they're not going to find somebody that loves them. I'm not talking about just human love, relationship love. I'm just talking about life in general. They're getting really scared. They're getting really scared of the economy. They're getting really scared of the future and of the government, all the things that are going on. And what we need to do as Christians is show them the love of God. Going in telling somebody everything they're doing wrong is not going to help them get to heaven. Showing them the love of Jesus Christ will lead them on a path back to Him every time. That perfect love will drive out all fear. The last thing is this. You need to remember today in your salvation that perfect, mature love. See, sometimes we forget how much God actually loves us. We think Jesus is mad at us. There's some of you today, you're thinking back to what you did this weekend. You're thinking back to what you did last week. You're thinking about how bad you were and all the sins you committed. You need to remember something today. Jesus isn't mad at you. He may not approve of what you did, but He loves you. My son Colt loves to pester his brother. We'll be in the car, and Gabriel's trying to sleep in the car. Colt reaches over and smacks him in the face. Colt reaches over and sticks his finger in his mouth, right? I don't approve of that, and I correct him, but I love him. I love him. Jesus loves you today, and you may be totally jacked up in your life, but you need to understand that He still loves you and cares about you and wants to draw you back home. Why don't we all close our eyes this afternoon?
Thanks for listening to the Gateway Family Church Podcast. For more information about Gateway, visit www.gatewayfamily.cc.